Okay, we're going to welcome Steve, who's now going to come and speak to us. Why don't we do that? And one of the things that we thought would be helpful, we had some notes yesterday. For those of you who are part of the conference, if you weren't here yesterday, we've got some extra copies of those notes. They look like this. And some of this was something that Steve had put together to help us understand a little bit about what prophecy is, what the prophetic means, how God speaks to us. So that was really helpful, and Steve's going to pick up some of that this morning. But just before he starts, we felt that actually it might be helpful just to have a very quick questions and answers. One of the things we wanted to do at the end of this weekend is make sure that people have got some very practical insight into what we're talking about, how we're doing, what we're doing, what it all means, this topic of prophecy and the prophetic. And there's some very practical things. And Steve and I were talking over breakfast this morning, and we agreed that very quickly we could ask each other some questions and answer them. So we're going to do that right now, Steve, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's good.
Am I on?
You are totally on.
Was I on out there? I hope I wasn't.
You are on, yeah. So, very quickly, and then we're going to just release Steve just to share with us and pray with us and do whatever else you want to do with us.
Thank you.
So, the first question, because not everyone was here yesterday, very quickly, and I know this could have a long answer or a short answer, what is prophecy, and what do we mean when we talk about the prophetic?
Prophecy is communication. From God. To us, through us, to society, to individuals.
Very good.
That will do.
Yeah, that's good. And that's prophecy. What do we mean when we talk about developing the prophetic then? What's the difference between prophecy and prophetic, or just two different words?
Well, sort of two different words, I suppose. But it is developing the ability for everyone to prophesy. It says all can prophesy. What does all mean? Yeah, so every one of us can communicate something of the heart of God into other people's lives.
Great. And one of the things that that I know that you did yesterday, which was really helpful, was speak some prophetic words to individuals. So there's a number of people here as part of the conference, and you spoke some things which are very clear that God was speaking to them through you. And it's encouraging for the rest of us. You don't obviously know those people, so when you're saying things that the rest of us are already aware of, firstly it makes us smile, and the second thing it does is it just reminds us that actually this stuff we're talking about is not just mumbo jumbo, it's real, it's a gift that God gives us, and it's to help us.
Yes.
Now, of course, you did a great job of that, but for many of us, if God's going to speak personally prophetic words to us, what should we do? How do we do that? We've seen you do it, which is really helpful, but what do you do? What's the process? What are you thinking when God gives you a word for somebody else?
There's a proverb somewhere in the book of Proverbs. I can't remember. It says, where there is no oxen, the store is clean. What do you think that means? Of course. So if the oxen's in the store, things happen, don't they? Things that people have to clear up. So I would say when I started, it was provoked by a desire to hear God and follow God and to communicate to people, but it was a little messy. But being in a group, I could then get some help and a little bit of direction and read a lot, learn a lot, so that you find that as you go on taking risks and chances, you begin to develop something. And the key to me is that I was accountable. So it wasn't just me doing it as some lone ranger or wandering star, but we're accountable for what we say, aren't we? We're responsible before God. But what I'd encourage you is to seek him, get closer to him, right, and ask him for something that just might lift up someone.
Great, brilliant. So often it's like you describe it as like a thought in your head, or
yes,
a picture or something.
Yes.
Okay. And one of the other things we did yesterday, we spent some time, we did a little exercise.
We did.
And we had some objects that you brought with you. And one of the things that we said is that often one of the questions that the prophets asked in the Old Testament was, what do you see?
Yes.
So we had some objects and we said, well, what does this mean to us? Or what could God be saying to us or through us? That's another way that sometimes God speaks to us, lots of different ways. If there is something which we find that we believe God is saying to us that is for a bigger group of people, then what do we do about that? How do we do it? Why does that happen?
Grief. Years ago, I brought a branch of a tree into the meeting. It was still full of green leaves, and tried to talk about photosynthesis. Correct. You know it better than me. And about the way in which the light brought life. And I think that was a corporate thing, but God will do what he will do through those who are open to hear him and are prepared to take some sort of risk. And with these visual aids yesterday, I think the object was to think quite laterally. One of them was a little bit of old concrete. Do you remember that? That tiny bit of concrete, which I knew was part of the Berlin Wall, which was interesting. Once people knew that, they're a bit more interested. So we started talking about walls, didn't we? Who was it that came out and had some prayer about walls? Anybody? Ali Son. Yeah, interesting, wasn't it? Yeah, because you came out, didn't you, with it? And what we found was that the issue of walls and breaking down walls and Jericho and all that sort of thing was very relevant to her, but also it became relevant to a lot more. So the object is, which I believe is important, Jesus challenged the Pharisees by saying, you don't know the scripture or the power of God. In other words, sort your lives out. There's something about us getting into this book. Like, I've read the end, have you? So we do win. I've read the end. It's getting there. So there's something about knowing God, his ways, his thoughts. And out of that, your sort of lateral thinking will give you revelation into people's lives. And these sort of illustrations that we took yesterday sort of help to release that to you.
Perfect. So one of the things, I was just checking that you'd finished and I realised you had. One of the things that you said which was really helpful was the purpose of prophecy. I mean, a lot of people, they love to hear, well, most of us love to hear God speak to us, don't we? Is that right? And sometimes it's really helpful when an individual like you, Steve, and other people bring us a word from God that is spoken to us very clearly. And one of the things that I love that you said was that the purpose of prophecy is to encourage us, but it's to stir us up, it's to build us up, and it's to cheer us up. So if we're going to have effective prophetic word or prophecy into our lives as individuals, yes, but also as church, it's going to do those three things, which is one of the ways that we can test and weigh that it makes that it is from God.
Yes.
And of course it's lined up with what we already know is in the Bible, which is God's ultimate word to us. I know. So one of the questions is, if for some people they received some words from you, from God through you yesterday.
Yeah.
So my question is this, what do we do if we receive a word from God? Because sometimes it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes there are things that we don't yet understand initially. So what do we do? How do we receive those words into our lives as well?
I wouldn't react too quickly. Some of you express some sort of surprise by the sort of revelation, but I'd soak it. What's the other word? I'd let it marinate in you. And if you know that God was speaking to you, just begin to let the word soak into you. Begin to speak to him about it, how it can be worked out. And I would certainly go to other people that you love and trust, and some leaders. You have a life group thing, don't you?
Sure, yeah.
And get some help on that, because I feel like if God is speaking to us, I want to know what to do with it, don't you?
Sure.
And I think the key is, other than letting it soak into you, is to determine by some sort of purpose that you're prepared to move on in this. without sort of manipulating it. Because if God's given you something, he's going to provide ways and open doors for you. So be alert, be purposeful in that, and look for him opening those sort of doors.
Brilliant.
That'll do for the time
being.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. That's really helpful. And then got two last questions. One is, you mentioned speaking God's words to people, not just within the church setting, but also outside of the church setting.
Yep.
And obviously, the purpose of prophecy is to encourage, to build up, to stir up, to cheer up.
Yeah.
But we don't want to keep it to ourselves. So how does that work outside of church with people who don't know all this fancy language stuff? And how do you speak to people like that?
Well, my prayer for you is that the Lord might set you all up, and that people will literally bump into you and begin conversation with you. And out of that, you begin within to sense anything for them from God. I think the gifts of the Spirit are for non-believers as much as they are for believers. And I think often there's a spirituality out there that sometimes, present company accepted, sometimes might be lacking within the church. People are hungry. I've got some good friends in Glasgow. They're Glasgow Prophetic Company. Have you come across them? They're good. And they go out into these occult fairs, you know, and have their own little store and do spiritual readings and prophesy to people and get revelation. And people are really affected by the power of God. I think, like you, I'm a little bit apprehensive about going out there talking about Jesus. What people want, of course, is that. But they want a sort of a revelation of God, an encounter with God, which is clear and powerful. And I'll tell you what, they'll listen.
Right.
So, yeah, Lord, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning, prophecy. If you go out there speaking in tongues, it might be difficult, but once in a while the tongues you speak will be understood by people.
There's a story in itself.
There is a story there, yeah.
Amazing. That's really helpful. Of course, we want to be a growing, developing group of people, God's church, who are able to hear what God is saying, communicate it to other people. And as church, we want to be effective in doing that, which is why we're so keen to have you to come and help us, which has been great. One very final question. I know you mentioned yesterday, and thought it'd be good to mention again this morning, that you've written a book. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I know some people last night, having heard you speak and the topic of this book, were already asking if they can buy one. Why don't you just tell us how it would be possible if there are people in the room this morning who would like to buy a copy of your book, which is called Rejection Hurts, and is an excellent book.
Ooh,
it looks a bit like this.
Yeah. There it is. It's a really uplifting book called Rejection Hurts. That was a joke. That went down very well. But about 25 years ago, I wrote a little booklet called Explaining Rejection. At least one or two of you, Janet, has one. But this is the extended version by Miles, and I overwrote it, so it is quite big, but it brings a comprehensive look at the whole issue of rejection, which many of us are affected by that almost every day. Is that a fact? Was I exaggerating? There's something in all that.
Sure.
So we look at it from a biblical point of view, an experiential point of view, and go through the whole thing with roots and fruits and, you know, starting in the Garden of Eden, starting where I was in the womb, very rejected, and was about to be given away by my parents, and all of that sort of thing didn't happen. And it goes on and on through and through, right to the very end, where we talk about healing and preparation for healing, and then a whole load of stuff on recovery. Because I think often rejected people are like recovering alcoholics. We need to learn how to face rejection in our healing, don't we? So it's all in here.
Brilliant.
And there's some paper over there to your right, which I'll put the book. If I leave the book there, will you not take it home? Because this is the only one I have. The rest are coming in on Wednesday. about 500. And I'd love to give you an opportunity, if you want to pre-book.
Perfect.
That would be nice. So what you need to do, I will do you a deal. Should we talk about a manipulative deal? Yeah, okay. They do cost a tenner, which, there we are. But if you want one, put your dosh in the envelope, and I'll send it post three. How about that?
That's a good deal, Steve.
That's a very good deal, because it saves you up to 20% probably. No, 15%, 12%. So there it is. Have a little look, and it's interesting.
There'll be a sheet over there as well if you want to write your name and address on it. If you could write it really clearly, that would help us as well.
Yes, it would.
Perfect. Why don't we just stand up for one moment, just stretch our legs, and then Steve's going to speak to us for our last few moments here. Father, we are grateful that you love to speak to us. We're grateful for friendship. Lord, we thank you that, that the way that you operate is that you're a relational God.
Yes.
That's why you sent Jesus to this planet to live and to die for us. And this morning, Lord, as we think a little further about this area of the prophetic and your heart for us, Lord, my prayer is that we would catch another sense of your heart for us this morning.
Amen.
And also leave this place better equipped to be able to serve you and to serve one another. We thank you for Steve and ask that you'd anoint him as he speaks to us in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Slava Bogu. Oops. Just to emphasize one thing from yesterday, which I think is crucial, the issue about prophecy and its communication is so good that I can't find it. Oh, there it is. When we speak into people's lives, or they speak into you, you shape the future by reforming the present. Shape the future. You speak into the now. And the word that goes in now, Jesus said, remember, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And she says, yeah, I know you are in the future. And I know about the past. But he was saying, I'm resurrection and life now. And it's that now word of God today that is very important. And as we speak in, shall I give you an example? Yeah. Here is a leader that when God reveals to Claire the extent of that leader, you will be surprised about what God feels about you. And leadership will be released. If I use this word, just put it in brackets or do something else with it, whatever you think. It's only apostolic word, it's nothing much. I believe that what God wants to do is expand you to a capacity because you see something of God in leadership and you have an ability to communicate that so clearly into people's hearts. I feel like you've got a real anointing that when people listen, you actually go with respect to the lowest common denominator and speak into them so that everybody understands what you say. She's got an ability to open up probably difficult issues, but Claire can explain them so that blockheads like me can actually understand. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There she is. But there's a calling, forget about him a minute, there's a calling of leadership that I think is much more expansive than you would ever realize, because you've got something of the wisdom of God, and you can stand in your own, I think, calling as a woman of God, and see something happen and built that will be substantial for God. That'll do for starters. So what I'm doing, I'm speaking now into the now, and I believe that word will shape her future. And Claire will need to weigh all that very clearly. She's obviously doing some sort of leadership, but I'm not clear what. I expect she'll need to share that a bit more with the old boy sat next to her. And things will be able to work out. And some of you might even go up to her and say, yeah, I see that. I confirm it. It's right. How that is worked out, you seek God, and he'll open doors, I think, supernaturally. So the whole thing is an encounter with God. So we shape the future by reforming the present. The thing about prophecy, it makes things happen. It does. Yes, you all said with joy in your hearts. Yeah. Very good. I've got a mother-in-law called Joy and a granddaughter called Joy. The mother-in-law is in the fullness of joy because she's with Jesus. And the granddaughter is in the fullness of joy living near Trafford Centre, Manchester. But she's a case. And that to me is so important. So we speak into the now. We don't clairvoyantly look into the future and see what and declare it, but we speak into now today, and that shapes becomes the future. Does that make sense? I'm not looking for agreement. I'm just wanting you to say, yes, that makes sense. So I believe, Claire, the word spoken in was rhema, that now inseminating word. That word will become flesh. That's what I believe. Look out, it's great surprises. Good, isn't it? I'm glad we got through this whole claptrap business about women can't be leaders, aren't you? Can I just leave that and move on quickly? I see no stones around. Now, the other thing that I want to do is probably talk to you about what I've got in my hand. The thing about Moses was he tried to do God's will before it was time. And you know what happened? He ends up killing somebody and runs away from Pharaoh and goes out into the desert, doesn't he? Yes, you said. And he's there. He's there in the desert. You know, you can't make these stories up. It's like they're fairy tales, but we know it's absolutely real and brilliant. So where is he? He ends up in the backside of the desert. Acts 7:25, he thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they didn't. 40 years later, imagine waiting 40 years. If I wait another 40 years, I'm over 80. I'm in three figures. Flip me. And a big bit. And, you know, to me, he had his plans, but God's plans were radically different. And, you know, the miracle of the baby being in the basket and all that kind of thing was amazing. He was brought up in that sort of, in Pharaoh's court, in that educational way. It's just incredible. But it's like something had to be squeezed out of him. Anybody feel like that? And me. And at the right time, something happened. But he needed 40 years. He needed that refining. Thank God that 40 is a sort of a symbol of testing. And I feel like some of us are in that. So, well, what happened? Well, he had an encounter with a bush. I mean, it's something else, isn't it? It really, really is. And there he is. He's there in the desert. And Egyptians did not like sheep. He was a Hebrew, but he had their culture. But he was doing the worst thing he could ever do. And what happened was, in the far side of the desert, do you remember those cartoons, The Far Side? No, I just gone into it. Oh, good. They're funny, aren't they? They are lunatic, really, but they're brilliant. And what was needed was for God to encounter Moses, to get his attention, and then he would speak to him, because it was becoming time for Moses, the prophet, to be used by God. I think, anyway. And the Israelites were groaning in their captivity, Exodus 2, that sort of thing, and it was time for an encounter. It was time to meet God in a new and fresh way. And I believe in these days, there's a lot of prophetic words coming out of the UK and out of America about a new awakening, a new move of God. Some even use the term a new reformation. If you think the last one was in the 16th century with Luther, that's the extent of what people are beginning to prophesy that God is going to do. It's like a new wineskin with the new wine. And I love new wine, don't you? I don't mean that too literally, but they need to be in a flexible, malleable wineskin. And it was time. There was a season coming in Moses' life. Now remember, God is predictable in character and unpredictable in action. And this encounter meant exposure, certainly exposure of Moses' heart. And it was a challenge for him to move on in his destiny. So he was in the far side, and he came to Horeb. Some say it's Sinai. I don't know. There's lots of mountains around there, isn't there? But it means fellowship. And he was wanting to draw Moses in, and he did it in a shocking way. And it says in Exodus 3, I've got it written here, he was tending the flock of his father-in-law and led the flock to the back of the desert, the far side, came to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now that's an interesting term, angel of the Lord. You'll have to work out who you think that is. In a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside, see this great sight, why this bush is not burning up. The message says, I'll add a bit of Bristolian on, if you like. Ear, he thought to himself. What's going on here? I can't believe this, says the message. It's amazing. Why doesn't that bush burn up? Now, you may know that because of the climatic condition in Sinai, bushes did combust. They caught on fire and then obviously were burnt up. Did you know that? Some of you did. Yeah, I think it's right. But this bush did not burn up. It was being consumed with fire, but it wasn't consumed. I used the wrong term there. It was just flames were on and on and on. And the spirit of Pinocchio came on him, and it says he turned aside. What God wants is to encounter us by us making a choice to turn aside. I'm just thinking a lot about, believe it or not, silence and solitude. I think we all ought to go to a monastery for a day and have a day of silence. All right, don't come. That would sort us out, wouldn't it? There's something in that about finding God, hearing the loud voice of God in silence. Remember Elijah, who was used to the sound of his own voice because he was in the cave and he was whinging. You know, and the violins were playing, nobody cares for me. See the violin playing? There it is. And all he heard was the sound of his own voice. And God says, well, what are you doing here? As if he didn't know. And they had this discussion. And the Lord said, come out and stand on the edge. And what he wants is for us to stand on the edge. Right on the edge. And that's, I believe, where he wants us to be. And God just, well, the mountains broken open, earthquakes and fire and wind. Do you remember all that? And God wasn't in that. What was he in? The still small voice. And I feel like he's wanting us to be still and small. Be still, be small. And so there was Moses. I think a little bit like that. He was ready. And what was going on? It's like a manifestation. Fire is like a manifestation of God's presence. But it were not normal, you know, but it drew him in. I'd be there, wouldn't you? Very nosy I am. You ask my wife, and she'd say yes. And it drew him in because this bush would not go out. The flames would not go out. It was amazing. And he turned aside. It got his attention. And it, you know, fire purges and empowers and purifies and all that sort. There's something about fire that I love and there's something about fire that I don't like. Because it deals with us, doesn't it? And this was his time. And I believe it's sort of our time. Nothing ever happens unless we turn aside and move out. It's a big challenge to me. And as he got closer, bust my boots, the bush spoke. The bush spoke. Moses. Reminds me of my uncle Charlton Hepton. Do you remember him? Who was come on. Moses. Speaking out of a bush. This is ridiculous. It is. It's beyond traditions. It transcends culture, breaks all religious rules and regulations. Hallelujah. You are with me somewhere, aren't you?
So there he is. He goes towards this bush and the jolly bush speaks. Not only did the bush speak, the bush knew his name. Kirsty. Oh, I got it right. Imagine that. You walk down a road and a bush says your name. What would you think? It's the spookiest, freakiest thing. It's just so brilliant, isn't it? Do something. You know, it's like an upper room with all the heads on fire, isn't it? You know, in Day of Pentecost. And to me, comfort zones, they're finished. They're finished. No more status quo. It's time to say bog off to comfort zones, really. It's time for, I think, for us to live in irresponsible passion. That Stephen there is utterly full of passion. I just pray for a little bit of irresponsible passion to come. And why not? Because Stephen's like that. Lose your head, sir, over it. Think about that. I want to find God's outrageous and irresistible and extravagant love. It's time for that. And if it takes a bush to speak my name and draw me close, I want to do that, don't you? This excessive and scandalous grace, looking at you and me, I'm really pleased that God doesn't care whom he loves. I'm being polite. Is this hanging off my ear? Oh, never mind. Yeah, it's all right. It's amazing. It's beyond the limits. There's this song by the Eagles which is called Take Me to the... One more. No, I want to go beyond the limits. If I'm an eagle, I'm going to fly. I'm going to go beyond, aren't you? It's time. Oh, it's time. I caught my hand in these flipping clip things. It's time. Moses, he said it twice, meaning urgency. It was the right time. Importance. What we need is a revelation of God's continuous presence, don't we? I'm leading up to the prophetic, by the way, but this is all prophetic. It's 5 to 12. Did you say 1 o'clock? Okay. Deuteronomy 33, God gave favor from within the bush. So God was living in there, from his dwelling place, being his place of rest. Isn't that interesting? What perceived shock is this? But the perceived shock brought Moses into the revelation of the dwelling place of God, right in the place you would never expect him to be. So look out, because he's on your case. He is, honest. So how does this affect us? Well, think of us. This bush is a bit of scrubby old wood, isn't it? Think of us with respect. We're the bush. Bit of scrubby old bush. It's us. And that bush is on fire, but the fire doesn't go out. It's unquenchable. That's pretty good. And from within the bush, the voice of God speaks. That's the prophetic. So I live in my irresponsible passion. I live in scandalous love and grace. I live consumed by the life of God, and I'm on fire. Didn't Wesley say, give me 12 men, he said, but I say people. Set them on fire. You'll get a crowd. I don't mean literally. Come on, stay with me, you dippers. So, it's fantastic. The very specific words of God. And later, right at the end of this, we'll do a little bit of impartation, shall we? And I'm going to pray that you have encounters with God, whether immediately or in the middle of tonight or whenever. I don't know. I don't mind. But I'm up for an encounter with God. Are you? Yeah, I heard a few yeses. I heard a few, and I heard a few, oh, my life. You know. But they come in all sorts of surprising ways. You need to know that. Well, I'm sure you do. This is prophecy. But it didn't finish there, because the purposes of God were to bring him to a place where he would be so involved in the deliverance of his people from Egypt. So he says to Moses, what have you got in your hand? As if God didn't know. So he's drawing attention to this staff, this shepherd's... Where's the great shepherd? Oh, there he is. The shepherd's rod. He says, what have you got in your hand? He said, I've got a rod. He says, throw it on the floor. Throw it down. Moses is thinking, what? Thinking. So he throws it on the ground. And as he throws it on the ground, it turns into a... And in my version, it says Moses ran off. Wouldn't you? He ran. Come on back, Mo. Come on back. I think it was a cobra, because that was part of the gods and the deities of Pharaoh. And they used to wear this sort of golden cobra insignia thing on their clothes. Is that right, great one? He knows. Yeah, that'll do. So he's already relating it to Egypt and to Pharaoh. And this... And Moses comes back with fear and intrepidation, like I would. Then the Lord says, pick it up. Pick it up by the tail. Now, I know enough about snakes that you pick them up by the throat, don't you? And so that you don't stop the snake turning around and giving you a kiss on the nose. By the tail. What is with God? It's so amazing. So he finally obeys, picks it up, and immediately becomes a rod. Isn't that classic? Isn't that classic? It's logically crazy. It's a prophetic issue, just involving him ultimately to confront Pharaoh and the powers behind Pharaoh. All of those 10 plagues and things relate to gods. Just amazing. Put your hand inside your cloak. It became leprous. And as well as the transforming miracle of God overcoming the enemy, he wants to purify us of our doubts and fears, which tend to be leprous. Make sense? That'll do for that. So Exodus 7:8-12, I'll just do a precy. So he says, tell you what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to do something for me. And Moses said, you've chosen the wrong man. And that goes into a big rejection acceptance thing. Bit different than 40 years ago, you know, God's man of power for the hour. Here I am, I'll do what you like. What I want you to do, Lord, you know, is what I want. And you know what happened. But this time, didn't want to go. Can't speak, can't do this, can't do that. And Aaron got involved. So what they said was, what I want you to do, or what the Lord said, I want you to go down to Pharaoh's court and say to Pharaoh, you and Aaron, let my people go. What? Only us two? With all that? Go down. And the Lord says, come here. He says, take the rod. Now this is the biggest setup in the Bible, or one of them. Take glory to God, the rod of God, a snake. So down they go, and in this great big sort of court, massive great hall, and go through the... At one end, there's a whole mass of curtains. I'm just sort of paraphrasing and making that bit up. But you'll understand why in a minute. So he goes down and gets to Pharaoh. Let my people go! And Pharaoh probably expletes and various other things. Nay, he said, nay, nay. Thrice. He's so naughty. We all went into another dimension then, didn't we? Or some of us did. So Moses says, chuck the rod on the floor. So he throws the rod down, and the rod becomes a snake. They all step back. Up at the back, Pharaoh looks to the curtains, and behind the curtains open, and a dozen strangely dressed men come out with rods in their hands. And they had sort of all these gowns and hats and that, full of stars and moons and all sorts of astrological signs. They were his occult bunch. And they all had rods. So there's our snake. And Pharaoh nods, and they throw their rods on the floor, and suddenly there's 12 snakes. Now I think this is funny, because God did not tell Moses and Aaron that. And if I was Moses... Here, Lord, you really set me up now, mate. Come on, what is going on? This is ridiculous. There's 12 of them and one of mine. And our snake went towards them and gobbled up all of them. Yeah. Well, that's the short version. what an encounter with God, with the voice of God coming out, the fire of God, will lead to is warfare, is spiritual warfare. And I feel in these days, I don't know, we heard it through the prophetic, through the tongues interpretation and the prophetic. What the tongues did, it sort of triggered off a whole series of prayers and, didn't it, prophetic stuff. What I got was, God, it's time for us to arise. We hear in the scriptures, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. But maybe it's up to us to arise as well. I think we're in that time, honestly. Because the world is longing for answers to questions, and we have a reason for the hope that is in us. There are more Muslims coming to Christ now than ever before. Often through dreams, revelations, angelic visions, and Jesus and everything. There are more Jews coming to Christ now than ever before, except in the early church. There are more messianic congregations in Israel. That's just the Middle East. Something is happening. Something is beginning to happen. And I look at you and you look at me and you think, flipping egg. Here we are, church. And I say, hallelujah, because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And that to me is really, really important. What I love about Moses, and you can read it in Exodus 33 and all that, he got to the place of intimacy where he had face time with God. And that's what I'm after. That's what I'm after, because the closeness to God actually released his word in a great way, a greater way. That's what I want. Okay. I'm going to move on quickly, shall I? All right then. Oh, Ratatouille. Let me just say this. This is in 2 Kings 9. It was time for Elijah and Elisha to say goodbye to each other. And let's put this down here. And they went to, ultimately, to the Jordan. And as they go through the Jordan, remember he smote the river with his mantle. It opens up and they go through, which is amazing. Because I thought it would have been very muddy, but I reckon the miracle, as it was in Exodus, the riverbed dried really quickly. Think about that. It's just amazing miracles that we sort of miss sometimes. And going through it all, Elijah asks Elisha what he would want Elijah to do. And he asks him something, which I think is really interesting. He says, please let me have a double portion of your spirit. He wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Isn't that interesting? How can a man give double what he's... What am I trying to say? How can he give double? He hasn't got double. He hasn't got it. And he said, you've asked a hard thing. I can't give you double because I haven't got double. I've got single. You see what I'm saying? It's incredible. But it was God. And he was talking about a verse in Deuteronomy 21, verse 17, where the law talked about the firstborn son receiving a double portion. We all talk about the young prodigal son receiving his single portion, but who received the double portion? Yeah, the elder brother, the whinging charismatic, it was full of anger and misery. You know, he got it all. I reckon he sort of helped set it up personally, but anyway, there we go. What he was saying was he saw Elijah as his father in God. Elisha was his firstborn son, so he said, I've got a right to receive double. Again, you're understanding me, aren't you? And he says, you've asked a hard thing. Can a dying man leave more to his heir than he has himself? He says, you've asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I go, if you see me go, it will happen. If you see me, be in the right place. If you see me when, be at the right time. And if you see me go, have the right vision. And I feel like he's saying it's time for us to be in the right place at the right time with the right vision. And as they're talking about this, suddenly there's a manifestation of the power of God. And it's like a horse with chariot, maybe more, suddenly appear. They appear and they separate. They separate them, and between them is this manifestation of horses and chariots all on fire. Now, where would you look? I'd be gobbed smacked, wouldn't you? I'd be looking. But at the same time, flames come out of Elijah's shoes, sandals. I don't think they did. But he goes up. He goes up. Thank God for manifestation, but I want to keep my eyes on the Father. Think about that. And as he goes up, he says, "My Father, my Father." And what happened? Something happened, because something dropped off, didn't it, Elijah? Oh, I've messed up. No, I'm all right. And this mantle began to float down, which is very much like the dove that came down to Jesus when the Father says, "That's my boy, my son, whom I love. Yeah, and I'm pleased." Somebody said the Father shouted so loud in heaven that the Holy Spirit fell out, which I think is really funny. And this dove came down and mantled him. Ooh, ra-pa-pa-pa-pa. God ain't finished with you either. No. Did I say that to you? Anyway, he picks up the mantle, which is the symbol of authority, the symbol of the prophet, and wears it. Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 23, he says, "Tarry." Do you like that Welsh expression? Any Welsh people here? Say it for me properly. Tarry.
Tarry.
Oh, I can't do that. Say it, can you say it again?
Tarry.
Is it Craig?
Tal.
Yes. It's not bad, is it? There's something about the craggy heart of Carl. That's real positive thing. This strength. I spoke to you yesterday. It's like Peter, you know, a few bits of old sort of stumbly, rocky stuff. But you're not that. You're a strong boulder. You're a crag. Dear me, sorry. He picks it up and says, as he reaches the Jordan, because he had a problem. He needed to wait a few months. The Jordan would have been very low. Could have just walked across, but it was in flood. And he did what Elijah did, didn't he? He smote the river and said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" Yeah. I prayed that once in a prayer meeting. It was half night of prayer and it was all quiet. And I stood up and shouted out, "Where's the God of Elijah?" Probably the worst thing in one sense I ever did, because it went quieter. But I heard the loud voice of God, which was a whisper, but it was so loud it freaked me right out. It was nuclear power. Do you know what God said to me? "Where's the Elijahs of God?" Stab, I'm under the chairs for the rest of that prayer meeting. But where are the... Hello, Elijahs of God. Hello, you with double anointing. Here we are. Isn't it amazing, eh? Tarry, tarry in Jerusalem, and you will be mantled, clothed with power from on high. And they tarried, didn't they? And the Holy Spirit came, and they were baptized. They were saturated and soaked in the presence of God. I think that is so, so brilliant. I'm talking about the scripture, not what I'm blinking saying. The mantle, the expression of his anointing. And what happened? Fire came. Fire and wind. Just like the chariots of fire. He's calling us to be clothed with power on high. I've only got one more thing to say. Is that all right? Right, stop the clock now. What I love about Paul, he was a bit severe, Paul, wasn't he? 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Don't neglect the grace gift. Don't neglect. If they're neglected, they'll wither. And Timothy was in a different, difficult place. 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flames. They're like bellows. Fan them into flames. Fan them into flames. You're in the wrong place, you two. Fan them into flame. Fan them into flames. Stir your hearts for God. Stir your hearts. Revive the spark. The Greek means continuous action. We can move in continuous action, can't we? Ephesians 4-ish, maybe 5. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, present, continuous, imperative. A command to be presently filled now, present filled, and continuously filled. You see, it's an ongoing thing. Be filled, be filled. It's time. It's time to know, I think, again, an impartation of the Spirit so that we are stirred in our hearts 24/7. Is it possible? I believe it is. Is it difficult? You'd better believe it is. But we can find God. So what if you slip, slide and stumble? You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off and... yeah, there we are. But it's, you know, living with a chronically sick people, you go up and down, don't you, like a Blackpool donkey, really. But at the end of the day, I'm purposed in my heart to push through. Please don't think by saying that, Steve, you'll be tested. No, we're tested all the time, so don't worry about it. But it's this thing. Timothy gone cool or cold. Then he said, Tim, God has not given you a spirit of... or timidity, Tim. Oh, so bad. But of love, power, and I like the last one, a sound mind. In the middle of all of this, you know, speaking in tongues and all of that. I did that once, and a Chinese lady sat next to me and nearly fainted because she understood it was Mandarin. I never understood it, but she did. That's why I'm convinced. These convincing miracles are going to happen through you if you purpose in your heart to have an encounter with God. Don't do it with wrong agenda. Well, if I get close to you, God, you'll give me something. Nay, I'm not saying that. But I pray for such a desire in God, don't you? Paul said, I long to see you. Romans 1:11. I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift that you might be established. Paul laid his hands on them. Acts 19:6, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Acts 28, Paul went in to see him, placed their hands on the people and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There's something about releasing, about impartation, to communicate, to transmit, to bestow. And I mean, these little pinkies are quite small really, but obedience to God, just lay hands. In the name of Jesus, something is going to be imparted. Where is it? Why? Because of desire in the heart. So what am I saying? I'm saying that... thank you, Greg. I'll put that there. I'm saying... can we move that, do you think? Could somebody... do the business. I'm saying that we can all prophesy, but what I'm after is not seeking him for spiritual gifts. I'm seeking him for his presence. Maybe it's time for your head to be turned to see and connect with God in an encounter with the bush on fire, that's you, with the voice of God coming out of you, with the presence of God so rich that you will, wherever you go, is it Monday tomorrow? Yes. Wherever you go tomorrow, you will influence. Whether it's Tesco or Aldi or wherever. I don't mind, do you? So what I'd love to do is just to ask God to impart and release something to you. Do you mind me doing that?
No.
All right then. But because this is the last thing, session, because the children are coming in, because it's time to go home soon, we need to do something now, don't we?
Yeah.
So this is what I'd love to do. That you will, if you wish, just come out to the front, and I will say in the name of Jesus. In fact, I don't know what to say now. This is Simon, isn't it? Yeah, I did know that. That wasn't a word of knowledge. I pray for such hunger and desire for an encounter with God that whatever, Lord, you impart to him, may it be first and foremost your presence. And out of that, may he flow in those giftings that will so affect, influence, and stir the world, literally the world. Traveled lately? Ooh. That will stir, where are we? Ashby de la Zouche. Where, Kirkby and Ashwood. Ravenshead, that'll do. Starting here in Jerusalem and going out to Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm not going to say all that to you because maybe it's you two. I don't know. In the name of Jesus. That sort of, so it'll be a prayer. Come Holy Spirit and touch. Oh, he's gone. Touch them as individuals for the purpose that you have for them. And Matthew. Is he a Matthew? Did you call him Matthew? When he's naughty. Sybil, my mother's Sybil. Sybil, you say Stephen. So we're going to lay our hands on. And anybody else that you feel... Who? Will you? Yeah, would you like to? Just as part of the church, it'd be nice for the dynamic duo, for Batman and Robin, or Donald Duck, or Mickey Mouse, and I don't know what we are. So... have you got what I'm trying to say? Yeah, okay. Elijah, Elisha. One day we'll talk about the father heart in all of this, because there's something in there that is crucial. What you got in your hand? You have a rod of authority. There's all of that in there. And you know what happened. It's warfare. It's time to move up a gear, people. You are a prophetic community, not a... I want to get right away from that. So what we want to do is pray for you. I'm not going to start climbing over people's legs and over chairs, by the way. So you've got 5 seconds to do something about it. I nearly said, come on down for the price is right, but that's probably true, actually. Well, what's going on here? There's too many of you. Sit back down again. I don't get stirred up and get a bit, oh my goodness, I have to go out because all this lot. No. If God is nudging you, it's time for you to move out. If he's not, just sit there and be secure and just respond to God in the way you want to, or if you want to reach with your hands to this bunch, you can do that as well, can't you? Just relax. Ooh, am I going to knock? Sorry. What was all that about? Am I getting the...
What we'll do, I know some people may have to go, there may be Mother's Day lunches and things like that. We on the one hand, we're always, it's really important to us that we honour the timings and things, but also we want to honour God's presence as well. So we realise sometimes there's a conflict there. What we'll do is we're going to continue with this for the next few moments to pray for people. If you need to go, then be released. To go and do that. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day. If you can stay with us, we'll serve some refreshments, but we'll do that in a few minutes' time rather than straight away as we continue to just pray for people. Thank you. God bless you. Thanks. Why don't we just thank Steve, because we may not come back to this point again. Yeah, yeah.
Am I on?
I'm on. Yeah, wander over to look at the book if you want to. Won't cost you much. So I'm going to pray corporately, and then we'll just come around and lay hands on them, shall we? So in the name of Jesus, I call upon you, Lord, that this may be a season where you encounter God in such a dynamic and dramatic way than ever before.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my goodness. It might be like that in the middle of Aldi. So just hallelujah. Just come, Holy Spirit. We just pray for such an encounter that you will so touch the people, Lord, that you'll turn their heads, that the bush might catch on fire, that the voice of God will be so dynamic. It's time, sir, isn't it? Okay. It's time. He's moving forward. I do know a little bit about him. This isn't revelation. It's time you're going to move forward. In the name of Jesus. Just move, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and move upon us all. As I'm praying, you're opening your hearts, believing that he's going to come. Sometimes he comes and you feel nothing. Sometimes you're on the floor shouting. Which is which? I've got no idea. But by faith you've come out, by faith you receive. Is that right? Glory to God. Let the prophetic anointing be so dynamic in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.